And welcome to a Monday morning. I apologize. You don't want to hear the beginning of that, but this is the best I've
felt. It's Monday.
This is the best I've felt in a at least 7-8 days. Last week was not happy about coming here, not feeling good, and felt like didn't deliver on the highest level.
I thought you delivered fine listening through the Odyssey app.
Well, I appreciate it. Listen, you know how you know when you didn't have a good day punting, right?
Yes.
You know, and maybe the numbers were okay because maybe the ball rolled an extra 15 yards.
Very familiar with that.
Well, maybe it was the content of the championship week. But I can do better. I feel great. Had a wonderful weekend. Most excited to be with Drew Butler, who I haven't been with in a couple of weeks.
It's been a while.
You did back-to-back with Zinno, which I got very good reviews on. How did...
We had fun.
Yeah.
We had fun.
Did he have fun? You always
I think he did. I think he did, and, you know, I had to keep him on his toes a little bit, but we stayed away from a lot of the negativity. I think he was in a good mood because the tournament was right around the corner as well.
You know how to handle him. You know how to just, you know, you got to just not let him get into the ship.
Yeah.
You can't let him spiral.
Right. Got to keep him on the straight and narrow.
Yeah, you guys did a great job. That was a Friday and Monday. I was gone, and then I came back and just felt like banged up, just a busy week, and had a great weekend. How was your weekend?
Man, it was great. My Kara, she turned 5, so we had a birthday party. Her birthday was actually on Saturday, so a lot of celebrations. We had an awesome party. And
on a scale of 1 to 10 for a 5-year-old, 10 being you're on the Real Housewives of Atlanta and your 5-year-old, you throw this massive event that, you know what I mean? Like, it's something you just go like, how are they doing that for a 5-year-old? And you're doing, you know, and one being like, we had a candle, but we don't lean in too hard.
Right.
Like,
I would say we went like, I mean, 5 was a pretty big one. We had a great party at Adventure Air in Alpharetta. I'd say an 8.
An 8.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. I think well, 25 kids showed up.
Okay, yeah. So big. But I mean,
parents enjoyed it.
But nothing that is unreasonable for a 5-year-old.
Correct.
That's a great birthday.
We did it right.
Yeah.
So shout out to Jackie. She did an awesome job. I know Kara had a blast. All her friends came, and it was a really, really fun weekend.
How many dads were there?
The Saturday afternoon birthday party, you're usually getting a
85.
Mom or a dad.
Yeah.
Because the older siblings are off at a sporting event or whatever it is.
85% mom?
Yeah, but, you know, we had a fair amount of dads there as well.
Okay.
It was a good time.
She got everything she wanted.
Yeah, she got everything she wanted. She had a blast. So it was a magical birthday-filled weekend.
Okay. Well, Kimberly was out of town 4 days. So it was dance and soccer and NCAA.
And Clay's sports wings. I saw that.
Oh, Clay's went big, yeah. Me and Bobby after his soccer game.
Amen to that.
I was like, we got to film content. That does not make him happy when I'm like, we got to do content. And he's like, I don't know why you take this stuff so seriously. I was like, listen, you know those futsal shoes you just got, those brand new ones?
Correct.
Right? How do you think we pay for that? Me eating chicken wings.
Yes.
That's how we do it. So I was at Clay's, yes. Just stuffing my face, it looked like.
So me and my buddies, we love chicken wings as well. And like, there's one place that we have not been to, and quite simply, we have to go.
Yeah.
Magic City.
Okay.
I have not had the Magic City wings yet.
That has,
I need to go have them. Yeah. And I said, like, we just need to text the wives and, like, decide on a Tuesday afternoon and be like, we're going to Magic City to eat chicken wings.
Yeah. And by the way, it's the only city that's legit. It's like the old days when you say I read Playboy for the articles, which actually was kind of true.
Right.
I go to Magic City for the wings. And
yeah.
It's like, it's a very similar analogy. Do they live up to the hype?
Oh, without a doubt. And ironically, I don't know if you guys saw this in the AJC, they're going to do a documentary on Magic City.
They're doing a 3 or 4 part documentary on the history of Magic City and the culture, the cultural influence that club has had.
Right.
In the
sports, entertainment, music,
the culture.
Everything. Yeah.
Yeah, in the culture, right?
Yeah, 100%, especially music culture, because a lot of artists today in the hip-hop world, they have taken their music there to see how it was reacted and responded to.
Right.
And then that would kind of spawn whether or not those artists would push those records forward.
How many references to Magic?
Oh, my goodness, countless, yeah.
So did you see me at Clay's on Saturday?
Yeah, saw that, yeah.
Yeah, that's a strong wing place.
Fantastic, yeah.
Yeah. Great people over there as well. So yeah, it was a great low key weekend. I'll just say this before we get to our 9 at 9, and then we'll play the sound you have to hear. My buddy Andrew Saltzman, who kind of runs the arena among other things, he's one of the big muckety mucks over at the Hawks and State Farm and everything else. I just talked to him. I said, "Bro, you're in for it this week because you are going to be inundated." Like a
with Hawks. Requests.
Oh my God, dude! Auburn, absolute win, right? Like I think
huge. Two hours away.
I forget who said it on Auburn. He said it's a home game.
I think Charles Barkley said it.
Well, he said it post, but one of the players on the court was like, "We're going home. Atlanta's a home game for us, right?" The Michigan alum, you know better than anybody.
Yeah.
How many Michigan alum that they find their way through to get there? Michigan State.
Tom Izzo.
Shout out
the
to my
rivalry.
My buddy Dave George, one of the great guys, huge on the Michigan State's alumni sports. There's a ton of Spartan cash floats through Atlanta. Huge Michigan State
and
fan
Ole
base.
Miss.
And then you throw in the SEC team on back end.
I know.
You throw
plenty of Ole Miss alum here in Atlanta as well. Tons.
Oh, my God. You think like Ole Miss is thinking we're going to be in a Sweet 16 game? Which is, by the way, way more winnable than if they had ended up against the Gators, and not that they'd be intimidated, the Gators, against Auburn, right?
Right.
I mean, like, Michigan State or Ole Miss are going to be playing on Sunday. So, and the Michigan alum, they have to be thrilled where they ended up.
So when is first tip-off Friday?
Like, I heard it's 6:40.
Wow, so then it's the late game. 6:40, yeah. Then 9:30, I'm assuming.
Yeah, obviously the late game is going to be Michigan and Auburn.
Yeah.
But that is going to be – I'm already getting requests.
Even Portnoy at Barstool, he's like, "I'll be in Atlanta."
He did.
Michigan guy, he's like, "I'll see you there." Yeah. So it's going to be a live atmosphere down there.
And again, for a Michigan alum, the access to Atlanta because of the direct flights.
Oh.
There's not a city in America, if you're a Michigan alum, and you just like...
There's a flight every hour going to Detroit.
Right.
It's an hour and a half flight.
Yeah. So think about all the Michigan alum. They're going to float in here wearing their yellow. They're used to Atlanta, obviously. They've been here for a lot of big events. So it's going to be spectacular on Friday and Sunday. Like, you know, however you gauge what you know, I don't know. The revenue may have been, I mean, I guess you would have sold it out anyway, but it's
the impact on the local economy.
Yeah.
Will be tremendous.
That's a great point. Like Michigan will come here and spend like crazy.
Absolutely.
That'll be huge. And Michigan State will do the same. So we got a great regional. The SEC gets what? Seven?
Seven conference record for any conference in the Sweet 16.
7 out of 16. It's exactly what I said last week. I don't know a lot about a lot. I said, don't worry about the bottom feeders. I'm sorry. And that's not a nice way to describe the Georgias and Texas and Vanderbilts, right? But I said, don't judge. The big boys up top, I have the big four and then Kentucky. So the big four is Alabama, Auburn, Florida, and Tennessee. I said, the big four in Kentucky won't lose. They go right through.
Yep.
Then you throw in Ole Miss and South Carolina.
Arkansas, sorry.
The biggest win, obviously, Arkansas taking out St. John's. So they get 7, right? 7 in the Sweet 16.
An extended forecast for Friday, 79, partly cloudy, no chance of rain, and then Sunday, 76.
You are so right, dude. They will roll in, you know, maybe Friday morning, but if they're here Thursday night, dude, that's 4, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that's 4 nights in this economy.
Oh, yeah.
That is going to be popping.
Chops is going to be packed.
Popping. I mean,
Pals will be packed.
I mean, dude, all downtown.
All those spots downtown.
They'll
no
be
question.
Walking around.
No question.
Really, really cool. All right, let's get the rest of 9 at 9. We gave you the college basketball a little bit. We'll do more on that coming up. Josh Pastner will join us. Great guest to get. He'll be with us at 10 a.m. But let's turn to baseball, where the Braves have traded Ian Anderson of the Angels for Jose Suarez. Ian Anderson, a huge part of Braves playoff history, right?
Yeah, running into some trouble as of late. Could not really get as many consistent strikes as he wanted to. So, as you mentioned, they trade him away to the Angels for left-hander Jose Suarez. In addition, the Braves signed Jesse Chavez to a minor league deal over the weekend. The Braves beat the Rays 7-3 on Friday. Chris Sale had 3 hits and 0 runs and struck out 5 through 4 innings. They tied on Saturday with the Detroit Tigers 0-0. And again on Sunday, they tied, this time with the Baltimore Orioles 5-5. Spencer Strider was on the mound. He allowed 2 hits, 3 runs, struck out 4 in just over 1 inning pitched.
Yeah, I want you to remember that Ian Anderson, a couple of things. Not only was he the number 3 overall pick in 2016, but as a postseason pitcher, in 8 career playoff games, he was 4-0 with a 1.26 ERA. He struck out 40 batters in 35 innings. He had a memorable shutdown start in Game 3 of the World Series, I think it was. So he just couldn't get it back together, and we can't throw strikes. But let's just say when he's back here for the Braves alumni weekends, a lot of folks will be real happy
for sure,
to see him.
No question. Atlanta Hawks, don't look now, but they're picking up the pace. Saturday night, they defeated the Golden State Warriors at home, 124-115. And then last night, they beat the Philadelphia 76ers, 132-119. Next up, Tuesday night at Houston, 8 p.m. tip-off.
Yeah, nothing but entertaining at State Farm Arena. Now, Steph Curry doesn't play, but that was a packed house. Trae Young looked great, 25-10. Zachary Risache continues to get a ton of press nationally as a rookie that clearly the Hawks did not miss on. I mean, if there is a headline, it'll be, yes, it was not Cooper Flagg or, you know, Wembanyama, but in terms of making sure you don't blow the first pick,
right?
Folks know this kid can absolutely play. And good for the Hawks. A lot of entertaining games at State Farm Arena over this stretch. NFL, nothing special.
Waiting to see what Aaron Rodgers does. He met in Pittsburgh at the facility with the Steelers. He left without a deal. And then Jameis Winston tweets out, starts spreading the news. He will be a New York Giant. Signed a 2-year deal for $8 million.
Is the Steeler deal going to happen, yay or nay?
You know, my high school teammate Cam Hayward, he did not mince words when he said, look, this is the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you don't want to be here, we don't need you here.
I get it.
But they need a quarterback.
I think it's happening.
Okay.
Hey, when we come back, Atlanta's actually playing for a title tonight. Drew will tell us more about that. All kinds of other stuff happening from over the weekend we'll get to. Steak and Drew Butler, it's the Steakhouse, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro and Drew Butler, thanks so much for being with us on the Odyssey app, which is just exploding over the weekend. I hate to think about who's competing against that. Atlanta United, 2 Atlanta Hawks games, all the NCAA March Madness, every single show, like the thing's on fire. So make sure you have the Odyssey app and make sure you know with Atlanta United, their season in full swing. Join Jason Longshore every Tuesday for Atlanta Soccer Tonight. He's got you covered all season long on the latest Atlanta United news. Plus, he's keeping tabs on international soccer as well. That's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by a local Ford dealer. Tuesday night on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and available the next day at Off the Woodwork podcast on Odyssey. Well, ESPN has never been shy about their partnership with TGL and adding programming through this league that is owned by some very powerful people, or the teams are at least. Everybody from Arthur Blank, Bob Kraft, Derek Jeter, Matt Ryan, I think Chipper Jones to some degree. They leaned in hard. And,
yeah.
And I think they have gotten better and better, the TGL product and the coverage, from the first night, which was, I don't know, a couple of months ago.
Yeah, and even today, SportsCenter live from the TGL Finals, today and tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern, and then late night after the action, Matt Barry and Scott Van Pelt, so they're bringing in the big dogs. But Atlanta Drive is taking on the New York Golf Club. Match one is tonight, and then matches two and three will be tomorrow. It is a best-of-three series. And obviously, there's not much else going on in the world of sports. I mean, you got some NBA games tonight, some NHL, if you follow that. Spring training. You got to wait until Thursday for the NCAA tournament to kick back up. So they picked the perfect time to do it. You got 2 weeks to the Masters. And you mentioned Matt Ryan. He's a limited partner in the Atlanta Drive Golf Club. Shout out to Matt Ryan. He won a big tournament over the weekend, the Pro Rivals Open out in Frisco, Texas. It was a tournament that was put together to get a bunch of former and current NFL players specifically. I did get an invite to play. Couldn't do it. Kara's birthday. So wouldn't
tell
even try
me what
that.
This is again.
It was a 3-day event. Probably 50, 60 guys, current and former NFL players, some big names involved, John Elway, Dwight Freeney, Patrick Peterson is another Atlanta guy, and Matt Ryan eked out the victory over Mike Leach, who was my long snapper in Arizona. So they battled it out. It was a Stableford format, and Matt Ryan, I think he shot even par yesterday, and he won.
I've asked you about playing with Matt Ryan. And those of you who know Drew Butler know that he's a phenomenal scratch golfer. And I was like, how does your game compare to Matt Ryan? And I think you said modestly that Matt Ryan's another level.
Really good. I mean, you know.
When I say another level.
He smoked me last year. We played in Boston. And I mean,
have you ever beaten him?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I shouldn't even say.
I mean, he's a very good golfer. Very good golfer.
What's his handicap?
Got to be plus one or two, probably.
And what are
I can
you?
Look it up right now. I'm a plus 0.4 right now.
Damn. So you could have gone to this thing and had a chance to win?
Yeah, which would have been really cool, but it was a big commitment. Damn. Like, Thursday was a pro-am, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You know, my daughter's fifth birthday, Saturday. Okay, no but, chance. Okay. I wasn't even bringing that up.
What if your daughter doesn't have a birthday? What is Jackie? That's four full days.
Dude, the purse was $400,000. I mean, it was a real tournament. I don't know how much Matt won. I don't think it really matters
to you him. Ever stood over a putt that was worth $50,000?
No, not $50,000. I mean, that would have been awesome.
Have you ever been in a tournament like that with the stakes at that level?
Yeah, definitely. Just some member guests and stuff where the Calcuttas are out there and you're going
to
make a couple of
grand.
Have you been
invited to Tahoe ever, any of that?
No, I mean, I'm not even in the purview of that. No chance.
Your golf's as good as those guys.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Not even close. I mean, that is the A-list of A-list when it comes to who gets invited to go play in Tahoe. I'm trying to look up Matt Ryan's handicap right now.
Okay. But you guys, I didn't realize you're at the same level. So you conceivably could go win a tournament like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Matt's a plus 0.6. I'm a plus 0.4. So we're right there.
Damn. That's unbelievable.
There you go. He's a stud, man.
Well, yeah.
And he grinds. I mean, he works at it. Matt plays a lot of golf. Why wouldn't he? I mean, shout out to him.
When you say he grinds at it, that means you know guys that coach him?
That's correct, he's
out working at his game all the time?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you're not working at your game the same level?
No. I'm working on my broadcasting career, and I'm working on my family back at home.
You're working on being a journalist.
Journalist!
So what do you think about what they've done with
TGL? I think TGL's cool. Look, it's an entertainment product.
Rob Manfred over there, the commissioner of baseball, is over here like, hello?
Yeah.
Like, seriously? You're done with baseball? ESPN ending their relationship
Correct.
With baseball and then watching SportsCenter, like, you know, Van Pelt, all their top guys, Marty Smith and company, and they're just leaning completely into this.
It is an entertainment product. The thing that really kind of ekes me is that when the golf purists, for whatever reason, don't like it and they compare it to tournament golf, it is not tournament golf. They are indoors. It is a humongous simulator. They're in Jupiter. These guys are just driving over from their houses, and they're having fun. Now, I think it makes it much better viewing when they're a little bit more relaxed, when they're chatting it up, when they're talking trash. Like, that's the whole point.
How can you tell how much they care about winning or
not
winning?
Well, tonight you'll see, because the winning team gets $9 million. It's a ton of money.
Where does that come from? Sponsorship money.
Absolutely.
Right?
SoFi.
Winning team gets
TGL.
$9 million.
Yes. Split among four guys. It's a lot of dough.
That's how many guys are on each team?
Yeah.
Four guys?
Yep.
Did you realize the payoff day was that much? $9 million.
Yeah, it's nice.
over the course of two nights, right?
Yeah, so it'll be cool. I mean, I'm looking forward to tuning into it tonight. Starts at 9 p.m.
Do you know what that 400 on grand? ESPN 2. You know what that 400 grand would have meant to that long snapper?
Oh yeah,
right.
And his Matt son, Ryan, his
and
son,
Matt's the greatest guy yeah. ever. And I totally just saw him the other day, and we were chatting it up a little bit. But, you know, I was like, how much is they hitting you up at BC to actually get some NIL money, as those programs have just gone completely in the other direction? Well, they're going to be hitting them up even more. Like, talk about the rich get richer. He's got the greatest broadcast job ever, right?
Yeah, and he's very good at broadcasting.
Right, and then he plays golf, and he's very good at that. And he just took home $400,000.
I don't know if he got 400 grand, but he probably got up into the six figures because the total purse was 400,000.
I bet you that knowing his wife a little bit, and just in any wife when you have three kids at home, must have been like, pick your two or three tournaments a year, right?
Yeah, because he also plays in Tahoe, I believe.
Right,
now
he plays in Tahoe. And then he plays in that Boston one with you, correct?
Yeah, that's McDonough's charity event, which is going to be the first weekend of August, I think.
So what do you think about the news of Tiger Woods? And those of you who hadn't heard, Tiger Woods kind of announced an engagement. I don't understand.
Really cryptic caption on the picture.
Day-Day, did you see that?
I saw it, and Drew actually kind of mentioned this to us last week that they were dating, so that's what kind of started making me pay more attention to what was going on.
It's Donald Trump Jr.'s ex-wife.
Correct. Yes.
And Tiger Woods have been dating on the down low.
For about a year is what was reported a week ago. And this is Don Trump Jr.'s ex-wife, who is the mother of Kai Trump. Kai Trump is a very successful golfer. She's going to the University of Miami to play golf. I just looked it up. She's got over 1 million subscribers on her YouTube channel. Now, Tiger Woods is, reportedly engaged to her mom.
But they didn't say it in that post.
It said, love is in the air. I cannot wait to spend our days together, whatever that means.
So Donald Trump's grandkid is Tiger Woods is their stepdad, right?
Yes, if they get married, yes.
Yeah, well, you said it sounds like that's happening. All right, a couple of things. I didn't mean to do all golf here, but I think there's some interesting stuff. First of all, is there a lot of gambling on the stuff? The
TGL? It's been kind of – I've tried to follow along. I think they offer just some pretty basic numbers. But, yeah, I don't think the gambling aspect of it has picked up as much as they might
have
wanted to.
Why have we heard absolutely zero about the Live Tour? I mean, like zero. And it's on FS1 now,
yeah,
too.
They signed a deal to put it on FS1 or FS2 for some of their tournaments, but they're going up against the PGA Tour a couple of weeks ago, the Players' Championship, which is known as the fifth major. It's the best field in golf. Liv was in Singapore. Those telecasts were on in the middle of the night. I mean, they got absolutely smoked. Absolutely smoked.
I heard it's like 150th.
Yeah, it's not even close.
30,000 people watched on FS1. 30,000. I can tell you on a bad Atlanta Eats, we have 45,000.
Yeah, right? I mean.
So me going to a deli in Dahlonega outdrew Liv. I'm just telling you. So,
yeah.
You know. No, but I mean, there's talk now. Like, you're playing not just in obscurity, you're playing golf scrimmage. I mean, you're not even in the game at all if you're on that tour, correct?
That's correct. I mean, the purses are enormous. Those guys got paid a boatload of money to lead the PGA Tour and start up Live Golf, but now you're starting to hear rumblings of guys like Brooks Koepka. They're hanging around TGL. You know, they're hanging with their PGA buddies. Like, they want back in. They're trying to figure out how they can unify the game, and I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Is there any more leverage for the PGA now watching the incredible demise of any conversation of Live? Because the PGA had to go to the table because of the money at some point.
Yeah, they had to go to the table. I think what will be most telling is probably how the major championships play out this year. We got the Masters in 2 weeks. You know, Joaquin Niemann, which is a pretty obscure name if you're not a huge golf fan, he's playing great on Liv. Phil Mickelson came out 2 weeks ago and said this is the best player in the world right now. So I'll be interested to see what Liv golfers show up in Augusta, because if, you know, a PGA star like a Rory or a Scotty wins that tournament, then it's going to be all systems go for the PGA Tour.
Are they going to be asking those Liv guys, is it getting worse?
I'm sure.
They'll.
Yeah, do you want back in? Are you enjoying what's going on? You guys had 30,000 people watching in the middle of the night. They probably left their TVs on when they fell asleep.
Right? You're watching. I don't know where you're watching FS1. That's the only reason you even got a number. When we come back, great stuff from Kirby Smart. You're really going to like this in our tailgate. Also, I'll take you through college basketball weekend, where there is a new villain at the top of college basketball, an unbelievable W for John Calipari, and the SEC. How do I know it means more? They have almost half the teams in the Sweet 16. It's Steak and Drew, Sports Radio 92.9. Tonight, the game. Lots more on college basketball weekend. Thanks so much for being with us. Also, some great Kirby stuff. This is the fastest 2 hours in radio. I promise you that. That's what's going on today. Fascinating stuff in a million different directions. Josh Pastner, as good as it gets these days, doing ESPN. He's doing the March Madness app, Big Ten Network. There's a great theory. We're going to save it. I want you to save the theory that you heard was Clay Travis.
Yeah.
For save it for Josh.
Yeah, that'd be a good question for him for sure.
Because we got a lot going on here, obviously. Atlanta wins huge, getting Auburn, Michigan, Michigan State, and Ole Miss to our regional. So fun at State Farm Arena, not in some big dome where I've watched numerous Final Fours. I've been to the Final Four many times as a college basketball kind of sycophant. There's nothing like watching games like this in an arena, completely different. And that's where you're getting with the Sweet 16 this weekend as well. And just in general, with the Braves starting their season on Thursday, the Masters is
2 weeks away.
2 weeks away.
Spring breaks next week for a lot of schools in the metro as well.
Yeah, so get ready for some craziness headed down to the beaches as well. So a lot going on in Atlanta and a lot for us to wrap our arms around. The Hawks, by the way, on a pretty good run. They had a great weekend with the Packed House Saturday night and then won again on Sunday. Let's start with the tailgate. Then I got some great stuff from college basketball. I have some thoughts on Patino, Danny Hurley, and John Calipari as well.
All right, I'm going to get to the Kirby Smart Cut in just a second. He sat down with Josh Pates from CBS Sports and 247 in a really good interview that was inside Buttsmere Heritage Hall. But I mentioned this last week. I have not had an opportunity to talk with you about it, Steak. And a piece of news broke over the weekend that, again, makes me just question, will it happen or not? Do you think Georgia's going to actually play their spring game, the G-Day game? Schools are continuing to cancel their spring games. Coaches are coming out talking against it. We don't need it.
I think it'll look a lot different than what we're used to, which is why they told ESPN we're not doing the game.
Exactly. That's the news piece that came out over the weekend. It will not be televised this year.
Well, I think it came out, even before we had heard it. But again, why did Kirby do it? And I think Kirby is rethinking everything. Rethinking everything. I know, and Rusty obviously is the closest to it. He likes to reward the kids after a few weeks of, hard practice.
Right.
He also knows for the fans, the guy in North Georgia that can never find access to a game in Athens, this is their one chance to be in the building.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's going to take that away from them, but I think he wants to be able to stop practice. I think he wants to be able to run, goal line or do whatever.
Right.
He
just does not true want a scrimmage. Format. Yes.
He doesn't want a true format the way the red and black game used to be.
Correct. And to your point, the scrimmages during spring practice are scripted. They're getting into specific situations. They're able to run guys out, get matchups they want to further evaluate the players.
Kirby will be on the mic, or somebody will be, and they'll make it entertaining. They'll explain what's going on. But if you think you're going to see the traditional red-black over a three-hour period uninterrupted, I don't think that's happening.
Yeah, and you've heard Josh Brooks, the athletic director, come out and say, hey, we're taking things one day at a time, 1 week at a time. Kirby Smart said, I'm not a prognosticator looking into the future, so we'll cross that bridge when we get there. I agree with you. I think it'll look different, but Georgia probably will still have their spring game here in a couple of weeks. And also, when you're talking about some of these other teams that are canceling them, you got to think about the transfer portal. I mean, these kids are going out there putting on tape. Anybody can get into the building.
Yeah, the vultures.
Coaches can come in and be like, hey.
Yeah, the vultures.
Come on over here. We got some money for you.
I know you're not happy. I saw I was with the parents. They weren't happy with how much time he got in the spring or so-and-so's behind the eight ball. You realize they're not even utilizing this kid at all. So a lot going on there for sure.
Absolutely. So Josh Pate from CBS Sports and 247 Sports sat down with Kirby Smart last week. They had a great interview inside the football facility. And Kirby Smart, looking back on 2024, I thought he had some really interesting things to say as to how proud he was of what they were able to accomplish a year ago.
I know football, and I know the level of schedule we had to play, and I know the roster we did it with, and I know the injuries we had. By far and away, the best job that our staff and our organization has done easily to go through the gauntlet we went through. Number one, to get into the SEC championship was an accomplishment with that schedule, because they don't make the SEC schedule like they do the NCAA basketball pool, where they say the quality of wins you have. They don't do that. They just do it sheerly off who are the top two teams in the conference. Well, we were able to do that. Then we were able to win that game, okay, which was in and of itself an accomplishment. And then we went on and played a really good Notre Dame team and didn't play our best game in that opportunity and had some faulty special teams plays, and they beat us. But all in all, I was very pleased with what we got out of our team. And it was below the standard statistically in a lot of areas. But a lot of that had to do with the schedule we played.
Okay, so think about that. Because looking back, and if you were to ask many Dog fans, Stake, last year almost seems like a throwaway. You did not reach the standards that you want to reach, and you are the SEC champions.
You have to see how poorly they ran the ball. You have to see leading the nation in drops. You have to see their offensive inefficiencies, which I don't blame on Mike
leading
Bobo
the nation in drops, and it wasn't close.
Yeah. I mean, Mike Bobo had so much to deal with. Their offensive line was nowhere near what they anticipated. The injuries were hellacious. To beat Texas twice, to win the SEC, to have the level of wins that you had, some of those quality wins, it was spectacular coaching job, and you knew they were going to run out of gas. They were not a national championship team. Not shocked about Notre Dame.
Notre Dame scored 17 points in 54 seconds.
And it was Gunnar Stockton's first start of his career. So, listen, nobody does it better than that Georgia coaching staff in Athens, and I think that's all Kirby's trying to let you know.
I totally agree, and I think it was cool to kind of see him candid in that moment, take a look back.
And I love how he just says,
really proud of what we were able to accomplish.
Without ego, I know football. Like, I don't know everything, but I know football, and I know the injuries, and I know the schedule, and I know the limitations, and that we came out with a sweep of Texas, the Longhorns, winning in Austin and then winning at home, the way we beat Tennessee, the way we handled some of our other big games. Was Clemson last year as well, first game of the year?
Yes. Yeah.
So beating Georgia Tech under those conditions.
Eight overtime game Friday night after Thanksgiving, that was incredible. So,
did you hear the stat about Andrew Smart, who we know a little bit, Kirby's kid? Just got a perfect score.
I don't think it was Andrew. I think it was the other. It was the other smart boy. But yes, he got a perfect score in the ACT.
Okay,
correct.
They're the twins.
Yes.
And then there's the oldest kid.
Yes.
Got a. I just know this because of my daughter. I got two pretty, smart, capable kids. On top of everything else, Kirby's kid, that was pretty remarkable, dude.
Weston Smart scored perfect 36 on the ACT.
Dude, that is like. That's MIT, Vanderbilt. That's like next level, Harvard, Princeton. You don't get 36s on your ACT. That's a perfect score, right?
Yeah, that's highly impressive.
They're doing something right. I don't know, Day-Day. As a parent also, on top of everything else, that you're teaching that kind of discipline and your kid is that bright as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's sick, man.
So does that mean you don't get a question wrong? I didn't take the ACT because we used to take the SAT.
If you did, it's one out of like 60, right? 59 out of 60 questions.
Gotcha.
I mean, it's great.
SAT still a thing?
Yeah, it's a lot of kids say the ACT.
Didn't they do an announcement about a year ago where colleges said they were going to it wasn't going to be as important.
Gotcha.
That depends on the school. Depends on the school. Some schools don't require them as much. It's still really friggin' important, dude. You get a perfect score in your ACT.
Yeah, you get to pick and choose where you want to go.
That's incredible. All right, let's do some college basketball. 7 out of 16 SEC teams. Here's how we start the weekend. A piece of sound I thought was pretty cool. Nothing to do with the games. Kelvin Sampson getting ready to play Gonzaga. Did I say it right? I hope I did. Or did I say it the wrong way?
It's Gonzaga.
How did I say it?
Gonzaga.
Damn it.
Didn't you try to get a game with Gonzaga in 2021?
Gonzaga. It always burns me up when people say that. You know, it's like calling me Kevin. My name is not Kevin. My mother used to say, people would see my name and say, hey, Kevin. And she would say, don't let people call you Kevin. Your name is Kelvin. Make sure they pronounce your name right. So that's why my antennas go up with that. Same with Gonzaga. They were our neighbors. And it's not Spokane, and it's not Gonzaga. It's Gonzaga, and it's Spokane.
So I had it right.
Yeah, you had it right. He sounds just like Bruce Arians, by the way, too. I'm hearing that. I'm like, golly, that sounds just like Bruce Arians, which is kind of funny.
He is.
Kelvin Sampson.
He is as a tough, hard-nosed it's ever been in the profession. And he is he going to get in the Hall of Fame this year? He's on the ballot. Expect to see Kelvin Sampson. He is a really good Houston team. I don't know if they can get over the hump. Pretty impressive. Danny Hurley's become like a wrestling
heel.
Danny Hurley started the season with his absolute foolishness in Maui, where they lost three games, and bitched and moaned his way about how they'll never play that again because of how it laid out. The most heinous call of all time. His kid got called for a loose ball foul, and they ended up losing a game.
Keep in mind, he was dancing with the Los Angeles Lakers job right after they won back-to-back national championships a year ago.
He got a technical foul of a one-point game in overtime with 35 seconds left. In college, that's two foul shots on the ball. So he lost the game for his team. Then he's just always jawing with the fans. They have an incredible game against Florida yesterday. Incredible. Best game of the tournament. We'll hear from, I guess it's Walter Clayton Jr. We'll hear his coach in a second. But here's Danny Hurley. After telling the Baylor kids, I hope you don't get effed like we just got effed as he's leaving the floor. Zero graciousness. I mean, are you auditioning to be on Netflix with the, they get the WWE, right?
Yes.
Does he calm down in the press conference?
You know, I was in a coach. I don't know necessarily. I was in the hot seat going into 23. You got to ask Dave Benedict. But until these men, you know, until Alex Karabin put on the uniform, and, you know, and Samson, the players change your life when you have such special people.
People are not buying.
Yeah, we got to take a deep breath, Coach. That's up and down and up and down and angry and sad and a lot of emotions going on there.
He did say we won a national title, then almost like an unrealistic two-year run, 12-0, then the offseason with the Lakers, then we're right back into the season, and it's almost like I need to take a deep breath. I think he finally, probably his wife, you saw the 60 Minutes piece. His wife needs to give him a, like, come back to reality, dude. You're now one of the most hated coaches in America. Here is Todd Golden, no better coach in America either, Florida heads coach Walter Clayton Jr., as clutch as anything I've ever seen.
Incredible player, great leader, teammates believe in him. Great to have the ball in his hands when you need somebody to step up and make a big shot. His teammates stepped up for him today, helped us get this win, and he stepped up closing this victory out for us.
Get the Rick Pitino cut. I don't think we went over it. The Walter Clayton Jr. will be a legend. I don't know if he's a Tim Tebow legend. If they win a national title, he'll certainly be an Al Horford, Joaquin Noah legend with those shots. Connecticut was ready to win that game.
Right.
Connecticut was ready to win that game. Meanwhile, John Calipari, does it get any sweeter than the win over Rick Pitino?
Pretty unbelievable. Absolute great game. Arkansas was 0-5 in the SEC. Their first conference win was in February against Georgia. Cal was continuing to say, hey, this is the right guys. We're just trusting the process. And now they're right there. He gets to go up against his former nemesis, Rick Pitino. Obviously, they battle back and forth, Kentucky, Louisville, history.
I'm sorry, you win. You've beaten them more times.
Yeah.
You were the number two seed, best season I was having a mediocre by Cal standards or Arkansas. Arkansas goes to the Sweet 16 a lot.
Yeah.
And here's Patino trying to explain why the Final Four at 50, R.J. Lewis, the Big East Player of the Year, correct? Do you know this? Big East Player of the Year doesn't see the court for 5 minutes when that game ends.
You had RJ on the bench, you know, for a pretty long stretch at the end. Was that just because he just wasn't making them, or was there something more to it?
Played 30 minutes. It's a long time.
So he was tired?
No, played 30 minutes, and I went with other people. You already know the answers, Roger. You're asking leading questions. You already know. So don't ask leading questions. You already know why he didn't play.
Was there one play with RJ that made you sit him the last 5 minutes?
You know he was 3 for 17. You know he was 0 for 3. So you're answering your own. I'm not going to knock one of my players.
Oh, okay. You just did. I understand there isn't a way of saying he'll shoot his way out of it. You're the Big East Player of the Year. I don't care what kind of day he's having. Is he not have a chance to make a play to win a game for you? He was 3 of 17. Patino benched him.
Yeah.
For that was it. You got the Maryland play as we go to break?
I do also want to mention this. It just dropped. D1 Baseball has announced their Week 6 rankings. Georgia is third in the country in baseball right now. The SEC has 10 out of the top 15 teams in baseball.
Gets it up top to Queen, dribbling left, big step down the lane, runner for the win. Baked it in! He baked it in! He baked it in! And Maryland has won! Maryland is going to the Sweet 16!
Terps beat Colorado State. Finally, we
that
get
was
a buzzer
great call.
Beater. Yeah, great call. And by the way, rolling left, switching to your right, kissing it off the glass. Tremendous shot. Josh Pastner, when we come back, Sports Radio 92.9. Sports Radio 92.9, the game, a heater of a radio station right now. Thanks so much for being with us. The absolute best coverage of March Madness, the play-by-play, the games, the drama. Now the Atlanta Regional, obviously. Hawks also having a good run of late. Falcons conversation will continue. I'm sure the Kirk Cousins thing, not impressed that he's back at the helm of that show again or what?
I'll be really interested to see what happens draft weekend. Will a team get desperate? What's up with the Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson situation? You know, Kirk's not going to be a Falcon this season because I firmly believe, and Matt Ryan actually said so in an interview over the weekend, that a team's going to get desperate. Whether it be injury or whether free agency doesn't work out the way they want it, they're going to need a starting quarterback. Kirk, through 9 games last year, showed enough that he is a starting quarterback in this league still. And I think somebody will be desperate and make the Falcons an offer to take the burden off of Kirk Cousins.
If you had to guess, we got to get to Josh Pass. If you had to guess, better than a fourth rounder or not? Over
yes.
under. You think better than a fourth rounder?
Give me a third rounder.
I don't think they're getting a third rounder. If they did, that's
or a fourth rounder. Record.
Yeah, well, that's why the over-under is 4, dude. I mean, you know, you got to go one way or the other.
I'll take better than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Joining us right now, doing a fabulous job, ESPN, Big Ten Network. And what was it, Coach? March Madness, the March Madness app all weekend as well. Is that where you were?
Yeah. So I'm doing, you know, I've done ESPN, obviously NBC, Peacock, did Turner, and then this weekend, this past 4 days, I did Turner, the March Madness Live Fast Break, sort of, it's like the red zone where
cool.
There's a, you know, you're going through all the games, so it's you know, it's more of a digital deal there. So that was good. So I had a chance to be there at Turner Studios doing that.
Coach, with the first two rounds being done with the tournament, I think the casual basketball fan would say there wasn't that much drama. We want more drama. Do you think at all that NIL has destroyed the mid-majors in college basketball. I'm reading a tweet here from Clay Travis. He says that all the talent at the mid-major level is now getting scooped up by big-money teams. 22 out of the 32 teams that were in the second round were SEC, Big Ten, or Big 12.
Well, the most dramatic game was yesterday, that's Maryland right. versus Colorado State, with Maryland hitting the buzzer shot. This is a different deal right now in college athletics. I mean, yes, the NIL has completely changed college athletics, where some of those players, as you mentioned, the best players are going to go to the highest schools. And I don't even use the word NIL. It's pay to play. And right now the SEC has the best of it. The SEC and the Big Ten are the two best conferences. They're also the SEC 16 teams, the Big Ten's 18 teams. You have the ACC, which is 18 teams. I mean, they're just these conferences are just becoming they're just humongous. So you're going to have more teams get in, more opportunities. But it is a top-heavy tournament right now. It's all pretty much all power schools in a sense. Are in the round of 16. And yes, NIL has changed things, but also NIL can change things for the good, for even for mid-majors, because you can turn things quickly now, because a lot of it you can maybe go get some guys and turn it with, if you're able to pay a guy enough to turn it in a hurry there. You still got to evaluate and form a team. Just because you have money doesn't guarantee you're going to win.
But you said get old, stay old. One of the things that mid-majors had when they play Kentucky and Calipari's four All-American freshmen, is a mid-major with 21-year-olds that are solid, that can play at a high level, that absolutely aren't staying at the Davidsons, or I'll even take Tulane, where Sion James, you know, was our point guard, now he's at Duke. But whatever it is, you're not staying around the way some of those units would, because you are absolutely, if you show you can play in the Sun Belt or one of those conferences, you're not keeping three, four kids there. They're all going to go.
Yeah, no, that's right, Steak. I mean, that's the biggest thing is if you're at I'm just using this school here locally. I mean, if you're at Georgia State, Kennesaw State, Mercer, any of those three schools, and you have a really good player that let's say you took him from high school or a junior college kid, and he had a good year, and he averaged 14 points, and he was good, and you won some games with him, he's in the portal, because nothing against those three schools. It's just the reality. They're going to go test their market value
immediately.
They can go to Georgia Tech or Georgia,
right,
and get a higher payday. And that's just the reality of the climate. So yes, you're right, Steak. Maybe whereas 5 years ago, Georgia State, Kennesaw, or Mercer would have stayed until he graduated and would not have transferred because there was no financial gain.
Yeah.
And you're going to play more, and you're going to continue to blossom and be a recognizable name. But now, because of the opportunity of pay to play at those even the highest level schools, the amount of money they could possibly give changes the dynamic.
I don't want to date myself, but the George Masons of the world with Jim Larranaga, those kids all played together all those years. And when they played
you are dating yourself. Everyone knows you're old. Today.
I know.
Hey, Coach Pastner, seven.
You're right on that. Yes, that's the difference in those type of things. You're right.
Seven SEC teams make the Sweet 16. There was a lot of talk. Was the SEC overrated? Did the bottom tier teams get in that they weren't supposed to? Most teams from one conference in the Sweet 16 ever. What are your thoughts on the SEC getting seven into the Sweet 16?
The SEC was the best league all year long, but I don't think you got to look at it differently. There's 16 teams in that league. It's
right.
Just a different deal now. Yeah. So 14 of the 16 got in. So it's just college, you got to almost have a little bit of an asterisk to it, because it wasn't like an 8-team SEC league, you
right.
know, where, you know, this is 16 teams and 14 got in, and deservedly so,
and
based
half
on the numbers.
Out. Half of them are out.
But the bottom line is they just, you know, it was the best league from top to bottom all year long. And I still do think they need to get two teams into the Final Four, which I do believe they will when it's all said and done. I think it will be Auburn and Florida to get there. I think Houston and Duke will be the other two.
Josh Pastner with us. We've got 5 minutes left. Bunch of stuff I want to ask you about, but let's focus on this game, the Patino-Calipari game. Now, first of all, another thing that you have taught me over the years, we got to have shooters. Every time Tech wasn't winning, you'd say it. We got to be able to shoot the ball. If we can't shoot, there's nothing more important. At the end of the day, that's what undid St. John's. They had one of those coming, and they had it at the wrong time.
St. John's was not a good shooting team. When you can shoot the ball, it covers many, many sins of basketball. I can promise you that. So And that was St. John's Achilles heel all year long. They were not a good shooting team. They could do elite things at other areas, defensively, offensive rebound, transition, basketball, but they just were not a good three-point shooting team. Neither team shot the ball well. It was like they were like 4 for 41 combined between each other in that game. It was not a pretty three-point shooting game, but they did not play well. And Kadari Richmond fouling out, obviously R.J. Lewis, who was a Big East Player of the Year, had a poor game.
So let me ask you about that. He's your Big East Player of the Year. Your coach, you've sat your best players before, but 5 full minutes at the end of the game, the Big East Player of the Year, there's not an opportunity for him to shoot himself out of it, even though he's 3 for 17. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, I would have, you know, look, I'm not questioning Rick Pitino. The guy is one of the greatest to ever do it, if not the greatest ever to do it in college athletics, but in college basketball. But I probably would have, you know, at that point when you're probably going to go with your guy that's gotten you to that point. And even though he's had a bad day or bad game to that, to there, it wasn't like the five guys that were in at that time were the run they were on was giving you that momentum lift. I'd probably have gone back to him and said, "Hey man, this, I'm going to kind of ride or die with you in a sense."
Right.
And you're my best player and it's a player's game, but that was his decision on that. And obviously, you know, look,
he's
won a lot of games.
You're paid for your opinion. And so am I. I don't think you keep your best player.
Can't. Not in that situation.
I would have played him, but again, that's just his.
I know the feel.
You know, that's his choice on that.
All right. So, Coach Pastor just said Houston, Duke, Auburn, and Florida. Those are all one
come
seeds.
On,
the
coach.
Last time all number one seeds have made the Final Four was back in 2008.
But those are the best teams. It's very top heavy. Look at the round of 16. I mean, what's the biggest underdog is Arkansas.
Yeah.
Are they an underdog? They've got the highest NIL maybe of anybody in the 16 teams. So there's no under. It's a powered, top heavy driven tournament this year, and that, nothing wrong with that. I think we'll have great games moving forward. I know some of the complaints that maybe not some of the games were as good in some other areas were as, you know, as close as like the Maryland Colorado State game, but maybe on the back end where sometimes those first weekends are so close and the back end, it doesn't get as close. I think we'll see some buzzer beaters and elite games be treated to all of us with the Sweet 16 and beyond.
Yeah. The game I've got circled is Friday night at 7:39 PM Kentucky against Tennessee. It's the third time these teams will play, and Kentucky has beaten Tennessee in both matchups so far. As a coach, what's it like to prepare to try to beat a basketball team for the third time in one season?
I don't buy the third time thing. You got to go play the game. I actually think both teams know each other. They're familiar with each other. It's going to be interesting because it's in Indianapolis. You've got Kentucky fans driving up there. You've got Tennessee fans driving up there. And then on the other side, you got Houston and Purdue. Purdue fans, the number one seed is going to literally be an away game, no matter whoever they're playing in the next two rounds. But I think I do like Tennessee in this game. I think they're just playing at a different level. Kentucky's obviously really, really good. But I do like Tennessee. I just think with Zakai Ziegler and Chaz Lanier and some of the things that they do, I think Tennessee will beat Kentucky this time around.
And that game is in Lucas Oil Stadium, so that's the football stadium, not a basketball arena.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Purdue looked real good, too. Hey, we got a minute left. I don't want to get, like, I don't want you to play armchair psychologist, but I would round you enough. The coaching profession is full of, you know, a lot of anxiety, emotion, everything else. Danny Hurley's behavior, almost like he wants to be a wrestling villain, screaming at the Baylor players, "I hope you don't get effed like we did," carrying on like he did all year starting in Maui. I know you don't like to criticize other coaches. Are you surprised by that behavior and then the emotional breakdown yesterday after? Because he really has become a villain in college basketball.
Well, look, I've known him a long, long time. I used to recruit when I was an assistant at Arizona. I used to go to St. Benedict's High School all the time recruiting his players. So I've known him. And look, the guy's won back-to-back national championships.
It.
He's going into the Basketball Hall of Fame. I think the pressure – here's my personal point of view for this year. I think the pressure of having the Lakers job, he turns the Lakers job down, and then he goes to Maui and they don't play well. And it probably, and I don't, whether he wants to say it or not, I'm sure in the back of his mind, he's thinking, man, I turned the Lakers down to lose three games in Maui. And then they were up and down through the year and they don't, and then all of a sudden, and I think that, you know, he's getting on the, you know, And he knows it. It's about getting on the officials. It's not a good look. If you ask him, he'll tell you it's not a good look. But in the heat of the game, he's so riled up. And I really do believe, I think the off season of last summer, and this is, again, I'm not a psychologist and I'm not in his body, but I'm assuming, in my own personal opinion, I think the stress of turning down the Lakers job and then carrying that all year long, wondering whether should he have turned that down to come back to UConn, probably put a lot of pressure on. And then when they started off poor, I'm just telling you, so in your back of your mind, you're like, I came back for this and this and then they lose. And I think that really weighed on him. And now he couldn't act like that, obviously, in the NBA. You guys know that. But it's awfully hard to turn down the Lakers. It's just really, really hard.
You think you think in January he's like, where would I rather be right now? Stores, Connecticut, or Malibu?
How about a month ago when Luka Doncic, you realize, would have been on your team, right?
That's right. So I'm thinking that probably wore on him, and it came out. Sometimes it might come out sideways. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
You're thinking in your mind, and you get frustrated, and it comes out that way.
Have you ever left a press conference and said, I absolutely never should have said that about one of my kids, or I should have thought more about that answer?
Well, you know what? I was always really careful. You know, I was always careful with press conferences and stuff I said. And you're always thinking things after you leave. You know, maybe I shouldn't have said that or said this differently. There's been times on that, but you know me well enough.
Measured.
I was pretty measured. On that. Yep. I mean, I would get more excited after wins and be upset, but even after loss, I was a little measured because I knew that you got to be careful on what you say just on that. But, hey, look, the guys won two nights.
I know. That was a
but
great
I'm
perspective.
I'm telling you, it's turning down the Lakers. And like you said, when they see that he's getting Luka Doncic, and you're like, I could have coached him and LeBron, but instead I'm here, I'm like, he's probably in his mind thinking, what am I doing? You know,
it was probably negative 10 degrees in stores that morning, too. He's like, oh, my goodness.
Hey, Coach, can't thank you enough. Hopefully we can talk to you later on.
Anytime.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Coach.
Josh Pastner, a regular on the show, doing a fabulous job across the board.
Yeah, you don't think Danny Hurley's wife was like, are you serious right now?
Initially, he said she needed to be close to home. I think Rodeo Drive would have been close enough. That would have been close enough.
Yeah.
Hey,
Santa Monica Boardwalk, pretty nice in January.
Yeah, the Luka thing made him crazy. All right, we got to go to break. Sports Radio 929. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Steak and Drew Butler. Wow. Busy show. Great stuff by Josh Pastner. And just to touch on that for a second, I love Coach Pastner, and I hope he gets a gig. I know he wants to keep coaching, but he's on Peacock and NBC and Big Ten and ESPN. He's doing a great job. And the March Madness, I don't think he's on the app. There's a lot of – the March Madness app is phenomenal. And I was at multiple soccer games and a dance recital this
weekend. On the go.
All due respect to the 75 other dances that were going on. You know, it wasn't as many, but I knew Nola's like 474, 485, 496, 503. Those are her dances. Mm-hmm.
Now do you write it into your palm with a Sharpie?
She texted to me, so I knew.
Got you.
I can just say that in between, that was a hell of a St. John's game. In between.
Clay's wings tasted good.
Well, that was after Bobby's game. But that app, dude, it doesn't cost you a penny. It's kind of like the Masters app, how good that is, right?
Oh, incredible. It's such a good app.
Why is the Masters app so great?
Probably because they invest a ton of money into it, obviously.
They were ahead of the game, dude, like 10 years ago.
It would be great to see the statistics on the app downloads of March Madness and Masters. The app downloads and then the app deletion right afterwards.
But it's like Chick-fil-A, the reason they're so far ahead of their competition, their lean into technology was not scrambling post-COVID. Like, they were there at COVID. The Masters was there as soon as technology. Somebody in that building was like, we need to have the best app of any tournament.
I'll give another shout-out to a local entity. Steve Cannon had Mercedes-Benz Stadium as the first ever cashless stadium pre-COVID.
Right.
So every single team was calling Arthur Blank Sports Entertainment saying, what do we do? you guys have done it. They were way ahead of the game.
When you're ahead of technology, the way the Masters. So the Masters, you can follow any group, right? You can follow, obviously, the entire par three. You can follow, like, there's
per
so many.
Per player, every shot. Every shot from every player is on the app.
So the lowest guy at the Masters, yes. Right?
The amateurs that qualify. You can go into the app and you can
see. There's a camera on that guy the entire time?
Yes. You go into the app, you go to the hole, you go to the scorecard, you can see his third shot on the second hole on Thursday morning.
Right.
It's awesome.
Well, the March Madness app is, Day-Day, did you download it like I mentioned?
Yeah, I did, man. Thing is awesome, man. To your point, like if you're just, because it was a full sports weekend for my kids. So it was right on point for me to be able to get alerts from it, remind me, oh yeah, I need to check this out.
But I mean, it's so fast from clicking over any of the five live games. You just hit it. I mean, it's
and that's one of the biggest downfalls of streaming and like YouTube TV. It's so hard to get out, go to a different game. You know, God forbid if you have to go to Amazon Prime for Thursday night football. I mean, the spinning wheel, the new app. It's ridiculous.
The Xfinity, any, which one you just
mentioned? I used to have DirecTV. Just hit previous channel, you were right there. Or last four on DirecTV where you could just scroll through and bang, bang, bang. You'd be good to go.
So, anyway, it was a busy weekend here. Obviously, for the economy, I didn't think of it, Drew, how long the stretch is. If you get to town Thursday night, you're not playing till, I don't know if you want to look at game time, 3, 4, 5 o'clock on Sunday. So you're talking about Michigan fans rolling in here, either driving south in a
first
straight
tip
shot.
Friday, 7:09, Ole Miss, Michigan State. 9:39, Michigan, Auburn.
It's never that soon, so they won't even tip till 10 o'clock.
Did you see the trend on first round and second round unders when the game was delayed, the start time by 15 or more minutes?
No.
Just a crazy trend of unders.
Okay, because guys are sitting now, getting cold in the hallways.
On what? So it's 7:09.
First half unders.
If it's 15 minutes past what the posted tip-off time was, the unders were crazy.
I'm telling you that there's nothing more difficult to pick than tournament games. It's. I told you about the dude from ESPN Bet that walked in like he had lost.
Joe Fortenbaugh.
Lost his puppy. He didn't win a game on Thursday. So, like, the number ones and twos, if that was your theory, you went 3-5, right?
Auburn 0-2 against the spread. Florida 0-2 against the spread. Houston 1-1, and then Duke covered both games.
Right. If you took the SEC teams, you probably didn't do well there. Seven of them were out fairly early. We just told you Florida and Auburn, the two best teams were 0-2. 0-4 combined. I don't know if Bama covered. Tennessee did cover both of theirs, and Kentucky did. But it's some crazy stuff to try to pick, regardless. But Atlanta won big with those four schools. All right, let's do a couple of quick things for things I learned. How old is he? George Foreman passes away.
Rest in peace.
A living legend on so many levels. Go look at some of the documentaries on George Foreman, the famous one with Ali and Foreman talking about the Thriller in Manila and Zaire, I think it was, is post. He was a real protagonist when he was fighting. He was under the Muhammad Ali shadow for years. Then the George Foreman grill, his appearances on talk shows. He became America's guest. He was Charles Barkley before Charles Barkley. He was a late night absolute staple.
Foreman's initiative. And there's that competitive spirit of George is coming out again. He feels he's nailed Moore with a good punch, and he's a good finisher. He knows how to do it, but he's in with a tough guy.
And remember, Atlas told Moore, George is going to try to find a moment here to steal the crowd and get them psyched up. That looked like it might have been it for a while, but now George stops punching again. And takes jabs for his trouble.
I don't know what that is.
Okay, so George Foreman grills. How many George Foreman grills were sold? They launched in 1994. How many George Foreman grills were sold?
4 million.
100 million units.
Of the most basic, uninspiring.
Yep. Plug it into the wall.
takes away the frozen burger and the juices and whatever that is. Anyway, that was supposed to be him knocking out Michael Moore. He has his return to boxing, where he actually has some huge fights at a stage that nobody should have been in the boxing world.
Rest in peace.
Meanwhile, the craziness of Will Wade, who exits McNeese, which is the worst-kept secret ever, right?
Yes.
Kind of like the Maryland coach throwing Damon Evans under the bus for taking the SMU job, it appears. Will Wade bringing a bunch of his players and, of course, the team manager, who is the hottest thing in sports right now.
Yeah, this kid's got aura, as the kids say. He has signed $100,000-plus dollars of NIL deals as well.
Amir Khan headed
yes.
to Raleigh, North Carolina.
To bring the juice.
Imagine McNeese State. I mean, it happened here at Kennesaw. May he rest in peace.
Absolutely.
With our...
Shahir Sharif. Yeah, Sharif. Yes.
Who passed away. But, you know, you leave and you bring your players with you and you're left with... Now they don't even have their manager there at McNeese. They don't have their players. Their best players will go with them. And NC State, the big boys just gobble that up. That's one of the things we learned over the week. And we also learned behind the scenes, things can get ugly. Somebody taped some ESPN producers talking offline about Stephen A. Smith. This is what you heard.
We have this one guy. His name is Stephen A. Smith. He plays the angry black man on TV. The angry black man stereotype is basically you're loud. You talk over people. What you say is not necessarily important. It's more how loud you are and how, I guess, how you deliver your speech.
This is an ESPN producer who gets recorded. Not a good day for Ryan Bertrand, an ESPN assignment editor. Listen, you know, not a good sound, but whoever's recording somebody off the record there in the ESPN office is a hot mess.
Yeah, not good. And Stephen A. Smith obviously is the talent that's allowed to go out and do whatever he wants, make these statements, get into the political landscape, and clearly behind closed doors, they're not taking a big liking to it.
Yeah, why are you calling it the black part of it? Pat McAfee does the exact same thing, really. Just, you know, it's all about style and personality. So I imagine that kid had a really bad day whenever that was leaked. And finally, have you heard of this party? It's been 30, 40 years. I assume Day-Day, not to stereotype, but, you know, not a lot of white Jewish guys were going to the Orange Crush party back in the day.
Yeah, down in Savannah, man. It was actually when I was in college at Morris Brown, we had Freaknik and then Orange Crush. Freaknik. Those were like the two big spring breakish events that we like to get into.
So it's been 30-something years since Orange Crush, right? 30,000 spring breakers, mostly historically black colleges, is coming back for the first time in 35 years. And it's happening with Tybee Island's blessing.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff there, man. And again, it's all about being in college. Guys our age, we have no business.
There'll be a beach party on Saturday, April 19th. Musical acts and DJs are happening. It's an alcohol-free zone. I'm sure you'll get your pregame on somewhere else. But it is cool that it's coming back. Savannah ended their relationship with it in 1991. That's one of the deals. The founders included NFL Hall of Famer Shannon Sharp and current Savannah Mayor Van Johnson. Orange Crush debuted in 1989. It is coming back. All right.
Yeah, man. Good stuff.
Did you see, I posted this on Instagram yesterday, at Drew Butler. I think it was ATL Scoop or Georgia Followers. The Clublix. The Publix that has been built to take over Murder Kroger, and there's a happy hour, and they're just dancing and music.
I've been to that same spot. That's where you go.
Clublix.
Is that what they're calling it?
Yeah.
Dude, that was one of the funniest videos. It's just a happy hour in a supermarket. That's their beer and wine section over there.
It looks awesome. I want to go.
And they're white people, black people celebrating together, right?
Just living life.
ATL. That's what we learned over the weekend. We'll come back, play three strikes, get you going for the week on Sports Radio 92.9. It's 10:43 on a Monday morning. It doesn't sound like it, but best I've felt in about 7 days. I don't know what happened to the voice, but I could not be more excited for this week and for these next few weeks. I mean, dude, we went from, and I was in a malaise last week trying to get ourselves focused on March Madness. And, you know, there's nothing, when you don't feel good, you don't have that energy.
It's tough,
man. It's like those guys that we watch that say, you got to look at the world different. You can't say, I have to do this. You say, I get to do this.
Right.
And when you don't feel good, you're just like, I would kill to go to the gym, right? Kill to take a walk, right? Kill to go to work and feel good, right? All the stuff you take
puts everything into perspective.
Always. If you don't have your health, you're worth zero, right? So I thought about that coming in today. Think about what a week that we're going to have, man. You know?
Perfect weather after today. Perfect weather.
Braves open with a ridiculous 7 games that we get to talk about starting Thursday. Ian Anderson, by the way, traded. Not a huge shock. Cannot throw strikes. Traded to the Angels last night. What is it, Day-Day?
And we get to talk to Brian Snitker tomorrow.
Nice. Good get.
Perfect.
I'm guessing the Queen had something to do with that.
The Queen never, he never says no to the Queen. So we'll talk to Snit tomorrow about that trade and about the team that they're headed to San Diego with. Obviously, they got 2 games in Mesa with the Cubs. So we have that.
Got TGL tonight. Atlanta Drive going for a championship, $9 million, taking on New York Golf Club, 9 p.m. ESPN2.
I'd say the most likable Hawks team since the one that made the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, just a lot to love about Zachary Risacher getting his reps right now. And George's Niang and Carl, what is it?
Caris LeVert.
Caris LeVert talking major smack the other night in that Hawks win.
Yeah, him and Donovan Kuminga of the Warriors going back and forth.
What did he tell him?
He told him he was trash, take off the TR.
Yeah.
In the H.
And, just totally dogged him out.
Yeah, and Draymond jumped in and was like, you've been traded 7 times. And then Trey had to jump in, tell everybody to chill out, and then turn around last night and Georges Niang is going at it with one of the 76ers players. Like, you wouldn't be down there, you'd be out there if Embiid. Like, so for me personally, it's just good to see them get these types of wins that they got the last 2 days, and then just to see that chirpiness from them.
I don't know how they're going to play Cleveland or Boston if they make it through the 7-8. I'd imagine that they'll get a win or two, because, listen, they played the Celtics as an 8 seed a few times. They took them to 7 games a year. Garnett and Pierce won the title. Hawks took them to 7 that year, okay?
Yeah.
And, I don't know, man, if they had Jalen Johnson. But, boy, is next year with Jalen and Risacher and Dyson Daniels now getting 200 steals, which is a crazy stat, right?
Yeah, I mean, and how do you not make a case? I understand blocks means a lot, but how does he not make a case for defensive player of the year?
He's the best defensive player I've ever seen in person. I mean, that guy is unbelievable. And then Trey, and then, I mean, there's no question a lot of those guys they got in the trade are coming back, I would think.
Yeah, I would think everyone's coming back. You may have a couple questionable ones, but I don't know, maybe Terrence Mann. But this roster, to your point, man, it's young, it's energetic, it's fun to watch.
Yeah, it's the best optimism I've seen around here. So that's a great thing. They're playing Houston. When is that?
That is tomorrow night, okay. 8 p.m. tip.
So you have that going on. Georgia baseball's ranked 4th in America.
Third in America.
Third in America. Masters is less than 2 weeks away.
Yeah. 2 weeks from today.
And it's just a great time to be listening to this.
NFL draft a month away, which is always going to be exciting. I got to give Zeno credit. He made me laugh, and it also made me think. He goes, Terry Fontenot should just trade every other draft pick that they have outside the first round to get another first rounder. So you have 2 first rounders, because that's all he's been hitting on lately. He goes, trade them all. 2nd, 5th, 6th, 7th.
Trade them all. Some cynicism,
yes.
I sense.
Yes.
Right? Did he draft Drew Dolman, or was that the previous GM?
I think that was the previous GM.
Right before. Yeah, yes. It was the Kyle Pitts draft. So Dolman hit his 5th year, and they couldn't re-sign him. Because you think the Bears overpaid for Grady Jarrett and Drew Dolman?
The Bears need help on both lines of scrimmage. So, I mean, you know, they got the cap space. They had the money. They had to get some proven guys to get in there and help them out.
And the theory is once you go to free agency, you always overpay. Like, you can get a better deal if you keep the guy. But once you put him on the market.
And then I think that also tells you the Falcons are very comfortable with who the backup is, who's going to step in and be the starter. So,
yeah. Ryan Neusel,
right? That's right. Yep.
Okay. Let me give you our three strikes questions. Your favorite fighter of all time. Not the greatest, not the most prolific, but your favorite all-time fighter. Marvelous Marvin Hagler. When Hagler fought, if you lived in Boston like when I did, it was no different than the Celtics playing a game six in the title.
Wow.
Like
from Southie, I'm guessing?
Brockton. Rocky Marciano's hometown.
Brockton, Mass, yeah.
Yeah, so when Hagler fought, it was an event. All the TV guys, the way they go to spring training or playoffs, you'd have every network there for a Hagler fight. It was like a home team.
I would have picked Conor McGregor. I'd go more towards the UFC fighters. McGregor, all-time entertainer. He's my pick for favorite fighter of all time.
That is very youthful of you. I got to remember, yeah. There's a whole UFC thing going on that is a part of it. Your favorite all-time fighter. We're just talking about the White Lotus, which has...
captivated viewers.
Yeah. It's in the... What's the term I use? Well, certainly it's in the consciousness of... It's in the zeitgeist, is what I said.
Zeitgeist,
thank you. Zeitgeist of America. My friend over here stated a few of the properties that are highlighted in the show. Last night, another spectacular episode. The nicest hotel or resort you've ever stayed at?
Wow, great question.
The nicest hotel, I don't care if it's one night, but the nicest hotel or resort you've ever stayed at.
That's a good one.
And finally, your favorite item at a Publix or your particular supermarket. Your favorite item. I was there yesterday, and of course there was a line for the pub sub. Don't go to sleep on those fried chicken tenders.
Yeah.
I mean, the fried chicken at Publix, and you know I'm a Popeye's Davidian, but I got to tell you. But you may have
Dude, the box of wings at Publix, it's like $16. There's like 30 wings in there.
Completely solid. You get a great homemade blue cheese with that.
Yes.
And now you're a hero, right?
Yes.
Not all heroes wear capes. Some show up at house parties with Publix wings and a great blue cheese, right?
Pub sub on the weekend is elite.
Yeah, and I was going to say, for me personally, it's the Mardi Gras wings at
Publix. Those are great too, man.
Okay, so somebody get creative here. Listen, I've talked about Grater's Ice Cream before, which is the greatest in-store ice cream of all time.
Which one's that?
Grater's, out of Cincinnati.
Yes.
Now, it's at a Kroger. It's not at a Publix. Remember, Kroger's out of Cincinnati. But it could be any supermarket item, your all-time. Maybe someone just has great melons. Or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe that's it. Favorite item at a Publix or your supermarket, the nicest hotel or resort you've ever stayed at, and your favorite all-time fighter. I'd love to fill the lines the final 3 minutes, set the tone for the week. The station's on a heater. I can't say more than that. This radio station last week was exploding with audience. I'd hate to be competing against us right now. Just like... Florida, what's the kid's name? Walter Clayton Jr.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to compete with him. I wouldn't want to compete with us right now. Not on what I just saw. An absolute heater. It's only going to get better with everything going on.
Allow me to get bougie for a second. Nicest hotel resort I've ever stayed in. One would be the Ashford Castle in Ireland. My wife and I stayed there. It's on the west coast of Ireland. Absolutely phenomenal. Roy McIlroy got married there. And then we also stayed in the OG Mandarin Oriental Hotel in Hong Kong.
Oh, my God.
That was sweet,
dude.
That was sweet.
How did you do all this international travel?
Pre-kids, man. Pre-kids.
Good for you.
We had fun.
Is that when she was working at NBC?
That's right. That's right when I was tail end of my career of playing football.
Does she come from some cash, Jackie, or not? Is she comfortable?
She's rich with love.
I knew you were going to answer me. 404-726-0929. You can marry a woman who's beautiful and modest, or you can marry beautiful and rich. You know, if you can take B, why not take it, right? So, all right, Day-Day's doing everything today, so call him and make his life easy. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. What's the line last night? First you make the money, then you have the power, then you get the woman.
That's right.
And what's it from one movie she said? It was on White Lotus last night. Scarface.
Scarface.
First you get the money, then you get the power, then you get the woman, right?
That's right.
Is that what happened with Jackie?
Maybe in that order. I don't know.
Yeah. 404-726-0929. Big game of the night is Atlanta tonight.
Yeah, Atlanta Dream against New York Golf Club. TGL Finals, $9 million on the line. Atlanta Drive, not Atlanta Dream. Thank you. Atlanta Drive Golf Club.
Very different brands, yes, for sure.
Thank you, John Foy and Associates.
All right, Marvin, your favorite all-time fighter.
So we know who the greatest was, but my favorite's got to be Evander. I had a buddy that came up with him in the gym here in Atlanta, and, you know.
The nicest hotel or resort you ever stayed at?
The Huntington Sheraton Hotel, which has become a Ritz-Carlton in Pasadena.
The favorite item at a Publix or your supermarket?
I got to go with the steamed crab legs.
Nice.
Jameis Winston, by the way, signing with the Giants, right?
Yep. 2 years, $8 million.
Is he their starter? No, he's not their starter. But
well, depending on what Russell Wilson does, yeah, who knows?
Josh, what's the favorite all-time fighter?
You know, I would typically say Mike Tyson, but if I'm going to go old school, I'm going to go Tank Abbott from the original UFC.
Nice.
The next
deep cut.
The nicest hotel or resort you've ever stayed at.
I stayed in Las Vegas many times on corporate trips, but I have to say the Wynn Hotel.
Yeah, great spot.
Yeah, that's tremendous hospitality. That's what they do there. Favorite item at a Publix or your supermarket?
Give me the Boar's Head turkey wrap with yellow peppers and a little bit of vinegar and some mustard, and I'm good to go, brother.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Todd Graffanini, who's in here a couple months ago, he said the nicest hotel he stayed in is that new Ritz-Carlton and Nomad in Manhattan. Yeah. I looked that up for a little anniversary trip, way outside my pay grade. I mean, like $1,800 a night.
The NBA players, that's just crazy.
That's just their standard.
You have
standard.
To stay at the number one hotel. Neil in Dalton, your favorite all-time fighter?
I probably have to go with Kimbo Slice, rest in peace. He was a bad man.
The nicest hotel or resort you've ever stayed at?
The Broadmoor in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, another well-regarded
great spot.
Property.
Sea Island's a great one, too. That's a sister property to Broadmoor.
The favorite item in a Publix or your supermarket?
You can't go wrong with the pub sub with the banana peppers, little Italian dressing, spinach. Delicious.
Shout out to Mr. Yo on Twitter. He corrects us and says Terry Fontenot did draft Drew Dahlman, fourth round 2021 NFL draft. So thank you, Mr. Yo. We have been corrected.
Yeah, so just couldn't make it work.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's going to get more. Yeah, Falcons don't have cap space. Drew Dahlman got a new contract. Good for him.
Thanks, Day-Day. Great job. Fabulous show, Drew. I'll see you next Monday, right?
Yeah, thank you so much.
We'll have the Final Four ready to go. Sandy, tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday. Brian Snicker joins us tomorrow. Buster only on Wednesday, Thursday, whatever it is. Rusty's back Friday. You know the deal. Thanks for making the Steakhouse Party a day.